You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. Remember, you can join our conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Adora, how much are you loving the 21st century at this point?
I love the 21st century. I'm just glad to be here.
We got podcasts. We got
iTunes.
We got iTunes. We got iThis.
TiVo.
We got viral. Things are viral in this century. Yeah, you know what viral means.
Good viral things.
It's when something, it's no longer viruses. It's no longer catching a cold. It's no longer sneezing and sniffling. No. Viral is all about the process when something on the internet begins small and gets very huge very quickly.
Knew I had to make you mine. Smile black and sexy, you're so fine.
That, of course, is the viral video, I've Got a Crush on Obama. Obama had nothing to do with it, but he probably benefited from the fact that 8 million people watched it on YouTube. Viral videos, viral emails, we know all about them. We may have even seen them. But the question is, what is actually going on there? Stephen Strogatz, do we know who the people are who are responsible for making something viral? You're a mathematician. Come on. You're the authority here.
Yeah, good morning. Well, we don't really know who's responsible. That's often the problem with ordinary viruses, too. I mean, it took a lot of work for the epidemiologists to trace back to patient zero in the AIDS epidemic.
Well, it's interesting. You're a mathematician at Cornell University, professor of applied mathematics, and you set out to determine whether the idea of viral marketing, which we talk about a lot here in the 21st century, is actually as similar to the actions of a biological virus or even a computer virus. Tell me how you designed your research and what you discovered.
Well, let me first make clear, I'm acting here as a reporter. This is work done by my colleague, John Kleinberg, in computer science at Cornell, and also David Libin-Nowell at Carleton College. So in a paper that they published a few weeks ago, they tried to find examples of viral behavior that left a trace. I mean, that's one of the difficulties in trying to understand word of mouth or other viral processes, that they don't really leave any signature or any mark. But they found two examples that did, which were there was a petition you may remember a few years ago about probably ended up in your own inbox to try to oppose the impending Iraq war. This was in late 2002.
Right.
So this was alleged to be from the United Nations was collecting signatures to then send to President Bush to tell him don't go to war. In fact, it turned out to be a hoax, but the people who were getting the petition and then signing it and forwarding it to their friends didn't think it was a hoax. So this was a good study. I mean, this was a way to see how things circulate through the internet. And the surprise was that it's not really viral in the way that you would think of for a computer virus or a real virus.
So it doesn't spread indiscriminately. It follows patterns that are in many ways easy to discern. What kind of patterns?
Well, see, the surprise here is that when you think viral, with that analogy, you would imagine since we know that we're all just the famous 6 degrees of separation apart from each other.
Right.
That really is true. Social networks are like that. So you would think if that were the case that the petition should have landed in your inbox after only 6 or 7 or just a handful of signatures. But that isn't true. What you found is that there would be hundreds of intermediaries between you and the source of this petition. So that was sort of a paradox that these researchers were trying to understand.
And there's
the small world.
Right. And these are more peer networks than they are sort of indiscriminate kind of mathematical patterns that grow exponentially, right?
Right. That's a very good point. These are peer networks.
I mean, this is
after all, friendship networks.
Right.
Whoever you would choose to send some political message to.
But isn't there an inherent assumption in there that, of course, if it's a friend of yours, it's someone who thinks exactly like you do, as opposed to people who have friends of all different kinds of persuasions?
Right. That's a good point, that there's a kind of incestuous aspect to social networks that wouldn't necessarily be true in the case of, you know, if you're sneezing on the bus and spreading viruses that way. You can spread it to people of all walks of life and all persuasions. But with social contagion, it tends to stay kind of in your circle or among like-minded people and therefore the spreading is a lot slower.
Occasionally things break out. Did you see the video of those guys stuffing the Mentos in the Diet Coke and watching them explode?
Yeah.
I actually talked to those guys a little while ago, and they described that they posted their film on YouTube, and within like hours from Saturday to Monday, they were on like asked to be on the Leno show. I mean, that went viral really, really quickly. How does that break the mold based on the research of your colleagues?
Well, then, of course, it's a little trickier when we start talking about the purely viral thing spreading from link to link on the internet or through friends. Once you hit broadcast, I mean, that's not viral. That's traditional propagation, right? Sort of top-down, centralized message sending.
But to get to Leno, millions of people had to circulate.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So this research is not intended to say that things aren't viral, because certainly there are all sorts of viral, as you say, viral videos and messages. The trick is to try to, as scientists, put numbers on these processes. How do they really work? How do they differ from biological viruses?
And despite the successes of some of the things that we referred to and the Obama video that we played at the top, it's actually harder than you think to start something viral and have it be huge in any way, right?
That's exactly the point. I mean, that's the thing that marketers and advertisers are trying to do all the time, or political campaigns. I mean, if it were that easy to start grassroots movements or to have sleeper hits, that, you know, movies that catch on, well, they'd be more common than they are. So no one really understands how viral things work, and that's part of what this research is directed to address.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us. Stephen Strogatz is a professor of applied mathematics at Cornell University, looking at viral stuff on the internet and discovering that it's harder than you think to become a viral kind of celebrity.
And now we're going to look.
More bad news.
No, really, we're going to listen to the latest headlines.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.